Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into AOA. Happy National Ag Week Tuesday, National Ag Day as well, as we celebrate America's farmers and ranchers. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to have you along for the conversation here on today's program. We got a lot to get to here on the show today, brought to you by our friends at Cenex, their premium diesels and premium lubricants. Learn more at Cenex.com. We're going to talk to Dylan Vaca with the DeLong Company. They're a commodities company in the upper Midwest, and they're doing a lot of work with climate smart commodities. We're going to have a conversation about that. I know a lot of farmers are asking questions. We're going to talk to Dylan coming up in segment two. In segment three, we're going to turn our focus to biologicals and some of the regulatory landscape and more. Chris Judd with Certus Biologicals is going to join us here on today's program. And then we are going to look at news headlines at the end of the show, including some more news on ethanol to jet, sustainable aviation fuel. What is the industry saying? We're going to talk about that and more coming up at the end of today's program. Well, joining us now here on AOA, some exciting news out on Tuesday. The U.S. Farmed Certification was developed by the American Farmland Trust, and we are going to learn more about this certification. And the first company that is going to certify their products as U.S. Farmed is Anheuser-Busch. Joining us to talk about this, we have Dr. Beth Sauerhaft. She's the acting president and CEO at the American Farmland Trust. Beth, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And also joining us, Chief Procurement Officer at Anheuser-Busch, John Rogers. John, thank you for being with us as well here on AOA today.
Jesse, thank you. Great to be here.
Well, let's just start and tell us a little bit more. And Beth, maybe you could start. What is the U.S. Farmed Certification and what does the new seal mean? Let's start there.
Thanks, Jesse. The U.S. Farmed Certification and Packaging Seal is a wonderful program that we're so excited about that is for any product where 95% or more of the ingredients are grown and sourced here in the United States. And this is really, really critical right now because we've got 2,000 acres of farmland that are being paved over or built on or converted to some use other than agricultural every day. And at the same time, we are facing an unprecedented transfer of farmland in the next 20 years. We're expecting about a third of our farmland, or 300 million acres, to change hands generationally. And so having a program like this one that provides a market for our farmers is so critical to keeping our agricultural sector alive in this country. And we're so excited that Anheuser-Busch is the first company to use the seal.
Well, and John, talk about Anheuser-Busch's role in getting involved in announcing this U.S. Farmed Certification. From your perspective, why is Anheuser-Busch doing this?
Well, Anheuser-Busch beer is American grown, made, and enjoyed. And we proudly supported U.S. farmers and the entire agricultural community for over 165 years. So for us, the U.S. Farmed Certification is a testament to that longstanding commitment, intergenerational commitment, to U.S. farmers and the sourcing of the highest quality ingredients that go into our iconic beers. So we couldn't be more excited to support the U.S. Farm certification. We have been the first company now to certify any product, starting with Budweiser, Bud Light, Michelob Ultra, and Busch Light. And Busch Light will be the first ever product to carry the U.S. Farm seal into the marketplace on packaging. You can find that on shelves this May.
Well, what can consumers expect when they see this seal on their products? What should they be looking for? Maybe you both could talk about that. I mean, you know, when they see this seal, what's that going to mean to the consumer? Any thoughts on that?
I think the consumer is going to think, this is amazing. I'm buying a product where the ingredients are by and large coming from the United States, and that I'm supporting farmers around the country. If you live in a rural community, I'm supporting farmers right here in my rural community. And knowing that funds from this certification program will enable the American Farmland Trust to provide various resources and advisory services to farmers about land protection, succession planning, how to even access land all across the country. So I think it's going to make them feel really good that they're supporting the folks who are providing, growing our food.
Absolutely. You know, for us, we partner with over 700 growers a year for the production and sourcing of barley, rice, hops, and corn. Agriculture is the lifeblood of our company, of our brands, and we believe the backbone of the country. We have a long history of supporting farmers through our agricultural research organization that we've had since the early 1980s through partnerships with land-grant universities around agricultural research, through a crop extension specialist that we have as part of our company that support growers on a daily, seasonal basis. And this is just another opportunity for consumers to be part of supporting the U.S. agricultural economy and community. And so for us, carrying this seal, putting this on a brand as iconic and as national as Busch Light, we really hope to inspire other consumer packaged companies to do the same for their products that qualify for U.S. farmed, to carry the seal so that consumers can make a choice to buy a product, you know, grown here in the United States and support the American farmer.
Well, and Beth, you've kind of alluded to this as well, thinking about the U.S. farmed certification, how it will help preserve American farmland. Again, to kind of bring this all back home, that's what's really at the heart of this certification. And from American Farmland Trust perspective is, of course, preserving that high quality farm ground we have in this country, right?
Absolutely. It's so critical. And as I mentioned, we're really facing quite a challenge with the rate of, like I said, 2,000 acres a day of farmland being lost to various uses. And so it's so important if we want to be able to produce our own food grown here in this country that we've got to protect that farmland. And we've got to make sure that there is a market for our farmers so that they can really have profitable and viable operations going forward.
Well, John,
it's just really important.
Yeah. And John, real quick, I'd say elevator pitch from you again to, you know, convince other major companies to get involved and join in and get the U.S. farmed certification. I mean, what would you really drive home to folks to tell them, hey, this is something you need to get involved in like Anheuser-Busch?
Well, I think for our consumers, we'd say choose beer grown here and support the livelihoods of American farmers by purchasing our products or other products that carry the U.S. farm certification. And for other companies, certify your qualified products. You know, carry the seal on packaging, making sure that you're celebrating the U.S. grower and, you know, what again, we think is the backbone of the country and strengthening the economy of our agricultural system. And we can do so much more and create so much more impact together versus going alone as independent companies.
Fantastic. Well, Beth, John, where can we go? Where could folks go to learn more about the U.S. farmed certification?
Jesse, I'm hoping that folks will come to American Farmland Trust's website at farmland.org/US-farmed.
Fantastic. Well, and again, we'll start seeing the U.S. farmed certification this May on Busch Light Beer. And we really appreciate the time. Very exciting stuff with that. Dr. Beth Sauerhaft with American Farmland Trust and John Rogers with Anheuser-Busch. Beth, John, thank you both for joining us here on AOA today. And appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Great. Thank you, Jesse.
Appreciate it.
Well, coming up next here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. Learn more at cenex.com. We're going to have a conversation about climate smart commodities with Dylan Vanka from the DeLong Company. That's next on AOA. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, where we take a close look at the benefits of cooperative ownership. Every week, we'll host a new guest and discuss how you can get the most from working with your local cooperative. And we'll learn why farmers and ranchers just like you choose cooperatives to help them persevere and prosper. Tune in each Tuesday or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
Hi, I'm Jenny Garth. I've loved and cared for rescue animals since I was a little girl growing up on a farm in Illinois. My pets have always been some of the most important members of my family. My friends at American Humane have been helping animals for over 140 years. Adopting an animal in need can help save a life and add a new member to your family. Since 1981, American Humane has celebrated Adopt a Dog Month each October in an effort to help the estimated 3 to 4 million animals waiting in shelters every year to get the loving forever home that they deserve. I urge you to consider fostering or adopting a shelter pet and to support the noble mission of American Humane. Together, we can make a significant difference in the lives of these loving creatures. For more information, please check out AmericanHumane.org.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions aren't new. Cenex Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Premium diesel to keep you going. Learn more at cenex.com. Well, joining us now, we want to learn more about the DeLong Company and some of the work they are doing when it comes to climate smart commodities and some new USDA grant money they have received as an end user company and more. So we're going to get some updates and talk about this. Dylan Vaca is with us with the DeLong Company here today on AOA. Dylan, thanks for joining us on the show. It's great to connect with you. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. And excited to talk about the DeLong Company, excited to talk about, some of the new programs and initiatives we got going on.
Yeah, well, let's just, for starters, give us a quick overview and background of the DeLong Company. I know you guys are based in the upper Midwest. Tell us what exactly you guys do. Give us some background on the company first.
Yeah, so the DeLong Company, headquartered out of Clinton, Wisconsin, right there on the state line of, Wisconsin and Illinois. We have 38 locations across the U.S., I will say. We have a location out in Kansas and Nebraska, and we go as far east as New York. But the bulk of our, 38 or so locations are in the Wisconsin-Illinois region. We're an agribusiness. We're a grain aggregator. We're buying and selling corn, wheat, soybeans, most of the row crops in the Midwest here. And then, primarily what we're doing is we're doing exports and shipping that overseas, but we have a good amount of domestic business as well. So in total, 6 different divisions. We have grain, export, agronomy, transportation, and wholesale feed. So, a couple different divisions and a lot of things going on. So it's exciting times to be a part of DeLong Company and, think about where we're going in the future.
Well, thinking about where we're going in the future, there is a lot of talk, of course, surrounding climate smart commodities. It's been a big initiative from USDA. And I know this is something that the DeLong Company has started to kind of put their hat into the arena, so to speak. Talk about some of the initiatives that you guys are working on as a company that ties in with climate smart commodities and more, Dylan.
Yeah, so Climate Smart Commodities Grant, like you mentioned, it's a big initiative from the USDA. I think the whole entire grant and program from them is $3 billion. The DeLong Company wrote a grant proposal about 2 years ago or so by now, and we ended up winning an award for 5 years, $40 million, And essentially what we're doing at that $40 million is we're paying growers, incentives on a per acre basis for doing cover crops, reduced or no-till, nutrient management plans, and windbreaks. So last year, super successful. We had over 170 growers in our program for a total of, over 230,000 acres across seven different states. So we were really excited to get that implemented last year. We sent out, over $6.3 million of direct incentives to growers. So it was really rewarding. We just started getting our program rolling here in 2024. And we've seen a huge uptick in acres. We're at close to 400,000 acres, applied for our program. When it's all said and done, we really, see even more incentives coming out of this program directly to growers. So it's been really rewarding to work with growers that are, the part-time 30-acre grower, but also the full-scale, operational size, 5,000 acres in our program, and obviously everyone in between. So it's been really rewarding. We're trying to make, the best use of this program and this funding as we can.
Well, talk about, why the DeLong Company decided to really dive into this and get involved and work with growers to help promote, more of these climate smart practices, sustainability, et cetera. I mean, beyond it just being a big initiative from USDA and the administration, talk about just some of, your company's perspectives on this whole climate smart initiative and why it's important, Dylan.
Yeah. So throughout time, the DeLong Company's been around for over 100 years, and throughout time, we've had some really great, business partners and contracts and companies that purchase from us. And, in the recent, maybe 5 to 7 years, there's been more interest from these corporate buyers in different markets looking for lower carbon intense grain, grain that comes from sustainable practices and operations. So throughout time, these larger food corporations and CPG companies are working with their downstream partners to discuss, like, hey, how can we find lower carbon intense grain, more grain originating from sustainable, farming practices? And given that we have a relationship with the growers out there in the field, when we saw this grant pop up, we were like, hey, this is what our buyers are looking for. We know a good amount of our growers are already doing these practices. So from our perspective, it was a win-win as far as, to get incentives to our growers and help them, generate more farm revenue, but also thinking about the different markets that we can, sell this grain to and throughout time, hopefully we can command a premium given it's farmed and gone through the sustainable farming practices.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting spot for an end user type of company like the DeLong Company to be in, because to your point, a lot of food processors and more are looking for, some of these more sustainable type of grains. And then what you said, you guys work with growers. So almost kind of incentivizing farmers to adopt more of these practices is kind of at the heart of this whole climate smart commodities push, right?
Yeah. That's definitely from our perspective, and we're, working on the grain and commodity side, that we're working with our growers that, hey, try cover crops, go to a reduced till or a no-till, implement a nutrient management plan. So that's kind of how we see it. But that's not to say that, in general, I think the interesting part here is the USDA realized that there's more and more companies out there that are looking for this. There's more and more consumers themselves that are trying to purchase things, given that they were sustainably sourced. So although we're just doing the grain and corn and wheat and soybeans, there's other projects out there too that are focused on dairy or livestock. So we feel it's an exciting time about, offering sustainable products to our buyers, and hopefully consumers can see that on the shelf soon.
Do you guys feel like it's tough for growers to get started with some of these practices? I mean, talk about some of that outreach you've had with getting producers enrolled and working with you guys on some of these practices. Is it something where it's tough to get going? I mean, or is it just one of those things where growers just need to see what's going on per se and work with you guys to kind of get started? I mean, talk about that aspect a little bit.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it's been interesting to talk to, these 170 plus growers this last year. This year we have, over 200 growers in our program. And the cool thing about our program that I think is, you know, actually helping adoption is that, you know, initially a grower doesn't have to make this a new practice or a practice change. We have plenty of growers in our program that have been doing no-till, have been doing cover crops for 10, 12, 15 plus years that have been able to get into our program. The cool thing about that is they're kind of the leaders, right? When we can only do so much to talk to the growers and talk to them about the benefits, you know, when it comes to soil health and root density and things like that. And, you know, what makes a difference, I think, is these growers out there that have been doing these practices for a long time that talk to their peers, to talk to their neighbors out there in the countryside and say, hey, I'm seeing the benefits of it. You know, there's this program out there that, you know, they can incentivize you to take that jump to say, hey, you know, I'm going to try cover crops this year. I'm going to try to go to more of a reduced till or an oat till. And hopefully, you know, with that, you know, kind of peer, you know, awareness and talking to each other in the countryside, you know, to go along with our program that gets some incentives, hopefully that makes them, you know, feel like it's more worthwhile if they haven't done these practices yet. And we've seen both. We've seen both types of growers in our program that, you know, they've been doing it for, you know, X amount of years, but also new growers that, are, you know, this $55 an acre for cover crops. Okay, I'll try it out and see what happens here.
Well, good thoughts. And if growers want to learn more about the DeLong Company's Grown Climate Smart initiatives and more, Dylan, where can folks find more information online, et cetera? Give us some of those details real quick.
So you can go to the DeLong Company website and go to grownclimatesmart.com. You can find us either way. Growers, if you're, you know, in the area of a DeLong elevator, you can go out to your elevators and talk to, you know, the people on site there. So we're always able to meet you out there too. So we're open for communication and definitely want to get the word out.
Fantastic. Well, again, DeLongCompany.com or GrownClimateSmart.com. Dylan, final thoughts real quick. Anything else you would add or reiterate to folks about these Climate Smart initiatives?
Yeah, no, I would just say, you know, do your best as a grower to go out there and research these different programs out there to get you incentives for practices. Like I mentioned before, the nice part of our program is if you've been doing these practices, we can get you into our program. Or if you're, you know, thinking about doing any of these programs, we can talk to you and you know, figure out a way to get you incentives based on them.
Well, with that, Dylan Vaca with the DeLong Company. Dylan, thanks for joining us here on AOA. We'll get you back on the show again in the future. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Today's program brought to you by Cenex. Find your nearest Cenex location or go online to Cenex.com to learn more about their premium diesel lineup. Coming up next, we're going to talk biologicals and some of the regulatory environment and more. Chris Judd, head of North America, VP for Global Marketing with Certis Biologicals, joins us next on AOA.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
If you miss an episode of AOA, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Agriculture of America on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
You're listening to AOA. I'm Jody Heemstra with a check at markets for the American Ag Network. China offered 8.3 million bushels of soybeans at auction today, drawing the soybeans from its massive reserves. This is the first batch of offerings, which are expected to reach nearly 75 million bushels in the weeks to come. China has been building reserves, possibly to reduce its need to purchase soybeans from the United States. USDA estimates that China's known supplies will reach 1.38 million bushels by the end of the current marketing year. That's up by more than 450 million bushels over a two-year period. The current offering is meant to fill a void of low purchases from the United States ahead of the availability of new crop Brazilian supplies, most of which are still on the water or on their way to China. Chinese buyers purchased another 25 to 30 cargoes of soybeans last week, primarily for April and May shipment from Brazil. Meanwhile, we saw a risk premium again added to wheat prices overnight. That's providing some support for corn prices as well, due to escalating geopolitical risks in the Black Sea region. Ukraine continues to strike Russian oil refineries, while Russia has retaliated by stepping up attacks on Ukraine export infrastructure. China's industrial output rose by 7% year-on-year in the first 2 months of the calendar year, exceeding market expectations of 5% growth, while also posting the biggest rebound since the COVID-19 pandemic. The resurgence of growth in the sector was credited to Beijing's stimulus measures. Those were announced in October, with 39 of 41 industry categories posting growth in the first 2 months of the year. Yet concerns remain on whether this growth can be sustained if the property sector continues to spiral downward. Construction in the housing sector typically creates jobs for roughly 1 in 5 Chinese workers, so the slump in projects is expected to push the unemployment rate upward, decreasing consumer spending. That's a check at markets for the American Ag Network. I'm Jody Heemstra.
Everyone has a community to lean on. A neighborhood, school, kids' teams, where you worship, work, work out, or any other place or group where you choose to belong. Communities can provide support when you need it, and even when you don't know you do. Like when it comes to preventing underage drinking and other substance use. You've talked with your kids and shared clear expectations, but you're not with them every minute. Your community members, friends and relatives, teachers and coaches, faith leaders, and other important adults in your kids' lives can be your eyes, ears, and a supportive influence when you're not around, reinforcing your messages with your kids and alerting you to warning signs of underage drinking or other substance use. So talk with your kids about these issues and involve the members of your community to help keep your kids safe. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information, visit talktheyhearyou.samhsa.gov.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. Downtime's a waste. Keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Cenex premium diesel fuel. Learn more online at Cenex.com. Well, right now, we want to have a conversation about some of the regulatory issues and things that we're watching in terms of different biologicals and just different crop inputs, et cetera, et cetera. So here to talk to us about that and have a conversation, we're pleased to have Chris Judd, head of North America and the VP of Global Marketing for Certis Biologicals. And Chris, thanks for joining us here on the show. Appreciate you making time to be with us. Hope you're doing well.
Hey, Jesse, thank you so much. Pleasure to be here. And well, love to talk about a topic I'm passionate about.
Yeah, well, and I'm glad we can get some time together, because I think this is a big topic. There is a lot going on. There's a lot of new going on surrounding, you know, grower adoption of biologicals and the regulatory side and the industry role. So let's just start kind of a 1,000-foot view here. And talk about grower adoption of biologicals. I think that's the best place for us to start in looking at specialty crops, row crops, et cetera. So how do things look in your perspective here at the beginning of 2024?
Yeah, great question on grower adoption. If you look at biologicals historically, so biologicals in their broader sense have been used for generations in agriculture around the globe. When you come down to more on the ground, especially crops have sort of led the way. So you talk about your high value fruits and veg, your grapes, your tree orchards. They've really strongly adopted the use of biologicals in what's called an integrated pest management program for really a couple of decades. California leading the way by example. When you look at row crops, that's where the adoption really is continuing and really starting to take off. When you think about biologicals in row crops, you see a lot of discussion around biofertilizer or crop nutrition by using biologicals, and biopesticides are just now really starting to be employed in row crops. And then if you step back globally and look at it, the U.S., Europe, have really led the way again in those specialty crop spaces, the high value fruits and veg, in using biologicals in their integrated pest management programs. Where recently, though, Brazil has put in some regulatory infrastructure that has allowed quicker and adoption and approval of biologicals in the agricultural space. So in Brazil, you see a lot of biopesticide use in their row crop space. So I think it's kind of different globally, but really the U.S., Europe has really led in specialty crop space. U.S. row crops are really just starting to see the adoption curve grow. And then in Brazil, working with the regulatory landscape and growers, biological adoption has really taken off there in the last 5 years or so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know obviously that regulatory landscape anywhere around the world, here in the U.S. though too, it's always it's never a fast process, so to speak, and there's always seems to be a lot of different hurdles to jump through. So what are some of the things we're watching regulatory-wise here that we really need to keep an eye on maybe this year and moving forward, Chris?
So I think a report just came out recently that says, you know, to develop a new synthetic biopesticide AI takes 10 to 12 years and several hundred $1 million. So it's a long time frame and it's very expensive. And they have to work around increasing regulatory hurdles with new synthetic pesticides. And I think that's where biologicals can play a role. Biologicals, biopesticides specifically, go through a very similar rigorous EPA process. We'll use EPA for the U.S. sake in terms of getting registered and approved for use. So, you know, the EPA employs a three-tiered approach for product registration. They assess both biologicals and synthetic chemistry. Similarly, biologicals generally exhibit the lower tox and their conventional counterparts, and generally affect only the intended target pest closely or closely related organisms. So they often meet that tier one requirement with the EPA. But they still go through that same sort of stringent process that the EPA puts synthetics through. I think if you think about the regulatory landscape more broadly, there's also a lot of pressure from consumers that are driving this as well. So consumers are more than ever are more aware of how their food's grown, where it's grown. You hear a lot about pesticide residue and managing pesticides. And again, that's where biologicals have really helped in that specialty space where those fruits and veggies are being grown, those apples are being grown. Because what growers have found there is you can apply that biological in your integrated pest management program. You're not going to lose performance or control of the disease or the pest, but you're going to have less residue on the fruits or vegetable. You are going to be able to have a shorter reentry interval, which means you can get back into the crop more quickly when you use that biological in your IPM. And you can also harvest the crop more quickly based on the post-harvest interval. Typically with biologicals are much lower. Mm-hmm. So from a regulatory perspective, there's a lot of benefits to you know, encouraging the use of biopesticides. What I will say this, and this is what I tell everyone, the future is not biological or synthetic, it's biological and synthetic. And what we see is when you integrate the right bio with the right pesticide, it's better for the grower. It's better for the synthetic because you're also extending the life and managing resistance on to synthetic pesticides.
Well, Chris, what's the industry role in all of this? As we look at the regulatory landscape, we look at grower adoption, you know, biological, synthetic that you're just talking about, et cetera. I mean, what kind of role does the industry need to play here as we look at things here in the broad landscape in 2024 and beyond?
Well, I'll give you a good example. Recently in Europe, so we've heard about the Farm to Fork initiative in Europe and how, you know, they were pushing for pesticide bans. And then recently in the last few weeks, you've probably heard or seen the huge farmer protests.
Yep.
Where farmers were pushing back and what they were able to do successfully for a period of time anyway, is push back on the implementation of some of those stricter pesticide bans and requirements. So here's what industry's got to do. Industry has to be the ones through performance of the biologicals, through the testing, through grower education, that can prove to the grower that, hey, you're not having something taken away from you in this process, but you're getting an additional tool in the process, right? So if you go out and try to look, a grower, and I've said this historically, is a grower is the best steward of his land, because it's how he feeds his family, it's how he pays his bills, and he is under pressure to you know, grow quality fruits and vegetables or corn or soy. And also make a profit. You know, when he starts to have, when the government or regulatory bodies tend to come in and start to restrict his tools by which to do that, it creates sort of that antagonistic effect, which we've seen recently in Europe, where the industry, if we can continue to improve the products, the compatibility, the stability, show the performance through field trials, educate the growers on biologicals, because they are different than synthetics. The way you apply them, the expectations are different. So if the industry continues to educate the growers and help the grower feel more comfortable by implementing bios in their program, then the regulatory bodies' work will be easier, right? So it'll be easier for the grower to basically digest that, hey, this tool might be restricted, but I have another tool that I can implement in my program via biologicals that's going to help me maintain that overall performance and the overall profitability of my farm, et cetera.
Well, great thoughts, and this has been an awesome discussion. Final thoughts from you. We got about a minute here, Chris. Anything you would want folks to kind of really take home? What would you reiterate to folks as they're thinking about biologicals and more right now?
So the final thought for me is that there's more proof than ever that biologicals do work. They do contribute to a grower's program in terms of increased yield, profitability. So biologicals are here to stay, and it's important that a grower who's interested in biologicals, maybe using a biological for the first time, that they seek out products and organizations who've been in the space for a while, who have proven their trust to the market that their products work and that they have the data to support those products. So biologicals are here to stay, and they can really benefit a grower in their overall program.
Well, Certis Biologicals would be one of those companies. Folks can learn more, certisbio.com. And with that, Chris Judd, Head of North America, VP Global Marketing for Certis Biologicals. Chris, thanks for joining us on AOA today. Appreciate the conversation. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Jesse.
Once again, great conversation there. Chris Judd with Certis Biologicals. All right, up next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Lubricants and Premium Diesels. Learn more at cenex.com. We'll take a look at news headlines to wrap up the show. Back with more on AOA right after this.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
A blinding eye disease attempted to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving forward.
Pushing past the limits of this disability.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Loss of sight won't blind our vision. Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, Ryan Hageman, an agronomy and fertilizer expert with CHS, will discuss the value of nitrogen stabilizers. Now, Ryan, nitrogen is critical for a healthy crop, but it's highly susceptible to loss. Why is it important to keep nitrogen in place, and what are the risks?
Any green growing crop needs nitrogen or a supplemental source of nitrogen added to maximize their production and maximize their efficiency. Whether it's the dry form of urea, liquid form of UAN, or anhydrous, each one of those products is susceptible to through nitrogen loss just through biological processes themselves that are naturally found in the environment.
Well, what nitrogen stabilizers are available?
So there's two main sources of nitrogen stabilizers that are available. It's either a urease inhibitor or a nitrification inhibitor. So the urease inhibitors stop the volatilization process by stopping the urease enzyme from breaking the nitrogen into the ammonium form, and it's released in the atmosphere. The nitrification inhibitors stop nitrosomonas bacteria from breaking down the nitrogen source into a nitrate form, which it makes it more prone to the denitrification or the leaching.
Well, Ryan, what's the value of protecting your nitrogen investment?
So one of the major input costs for a grower can be their nitrogen fertilizer expense. So corn plants take up their maximum amount of nitrogen late June through July. So we have to make sure that that nitrogen is available and does not volatilize, denitrification, or leach in that period. So it has to be there for that maximum production, and it will help maximize the grower's return on investment by making sure that that nitrogen is there late enough in the season when the corn plant needs it.
Thank you for joining us Around the Table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted card to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your card donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA here today, the program brought to you by our friends at Cenex, and they have a great lineup of premium diesels and greases and lubricants for your equipment on your operation. And you know, you just got to trust your local experts at Cenex. They will have the right products for you, those high quality premium lubricants and premium diesels and more. Find your nearest Cenex location or visit them online at cenex.com. Again, just go to Cenex.com. Cenex.com for more information. So again, the great folks at Cenex can keep you up and running. Well, bio-based products, already a big part of agriculture, will likely play an even bigger role in the future as more oil-based items turn into those made from plants. That from a panel of experts at AgriPulse's Ag and Food Policy Summit this week. USDA's Rural Business Cooperative Service head Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan says bio-based products will be a huge part of agriculture in the very near future.
It's going to start with the farmers, and that's where the money's going to go if we have anything to say about it. You know, I think that what we're going to see in 5 years is the biopreferred product label everywhere. It's going to be an industry standard. People are going to be looking for it.
From new fertilizers to aviation fuel, farmers will play a role. Alex Minotti is Vice President of Government Affairs at LanzaJet.
Commercial producer of alcohol to jet sustainable aviation fuel. And as was mentioned, we just in January opened that world's first commercial plant down in Soperton, Georgia, 10 million gallons per year of ethanol to both jet fuel and diesel.
Just a fraction of a potential 36 billion gallon industry of Treasury and also EPA modernized ethanol emission standards, Minotti says, to allow key tax credits, but infrastructure is another hurdle. Business Development Associate Director at the University of Illinois' IBRL facility in Urbana-Champaign, Beth Connerty.
Historically, it's been extremely difficult to get money for capital-intensive infrastructure. And, you know, we kind of saw that through the biofuels era, and there were some real challenges in biofuels. And now it's even harder to get funding for capital-intensive projects.
And Connerty says too many of the startups she works with must go overseas, and a better funding pipeline here would keep those firms and jobs in the U.S., the world's hotbed for research and development. Well, using funds from its Commodity Credit Corporation, the Department of Agriculture is purchasing an additional 33.5 million pounds of pork worth more than $78.6 million for distribution to various food, nutrition, and assistance programs. Earlier this year, USDA bought $25 million of pork under Section 32 of the Agricultural Adjustment Act of 1935, which authorizes the Secretary of Agriculture to make commodity purchases, entitlement purchases, and disaster assistance using funds appropriated annually from U.S. customs receipts. Now, the National Pork Producers Council applauded USDA's purchase and says the organization will continue working with the agency to identify additional opportunities to find support for U.S. pork producers during challenging market conditions. The U.S. pork industry has faced a challenging economic market over the past 18 months, with producers losing an average of $30, sometimes $40 to $60 on each hog marketed in 2023. Now, the NPPC says these pork purchases provide much-needed support to the hog and wholesale pork markets and secure affordable, nutritious pork products for USDA recipient programs. Well, two Senate Agriculture Committee members are questioning the Department of Agriculture's telework policy. Republicans John Bozeman of Arkansas and Joni Ernst of Iowa are requesting USDA's Inspector General to build upon its oversight of the federal agency's telework abuse and expand its investigation into the department's footprint and workforce. In a letter, Bozeman and Ernst called for an enhanced investigation after USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack was questioned during a Senate Agriculture Committee hearing last month. The committee focused on a department supervisor's revelation to the committee that the agency's headquarters resembles a ghost town, to which the secretary claimed that his employees and managers are in the D.C. office a majority of the week. The letter states Secretary Vilsack's apparent misapprehension regarding the telework posture of his workforce underlines the importance of comprehensive reviews, audits, and evaluations of the USDA's telework, locality pay, and space utilization policies, quote unquote. The letter requests a response by March 27th of this year. Well, rebates for infant formula help reduce costs of the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, or WIC. That's according to USDA's Economic Research Service. They report that from 1989 to 2022, savings to WIC from the rebates totaled $71.9 billion in inflation-adjusted 2022 dollars, or 23%. Without the rebates, the federal government would have spent about $307.5 billion on the WIC program over that period. Now, with the rebates, the government spent $235.6 billion. The greatest savings come from strategies used to contain the costs of providing infant formula through the program. Since 1989, most WIC state agencies have used competitive bidding to award contracts to a single manufacturer to serve as the formula of first choice for infant participants in their state. In return, manufacturers offer WIC state agencies rebates for each unit of formula sold through the program. Now, state agencies responsible for implementing WIC use cost containment strategies to reduce program costs. And also, the national average gas price increased for the third consecutive week, climbing 4.4 cents from a week ago to $3.44 per gallon, according to Gas Buddy. Now, the national average is up 18.7 cents from a month ago and 1.6 cents per gallon higher than a year ago. U.S. retail gasoline demand saw a rise of 3.1% for the week. The national average diesel price declined 2.2 cents last week and is $4 per gallon, 28 cents lower than 1 year ago. Now, Gas Buddy's Patrick DeHaan says, quote, "For now, gas prices will likely continue to trend higher, but the fever may break soon," end quote. Now, refinery output is starting to increase as the maintenance season comes to an end. When it comes to diesel, above average temperatures have lowered heating oil demand, and average diesel prices are on the cusp of falling back below $4 per gallon. The most common U.S. diesel price stood at $3.89 per gallon here this week. Well, and you may want to go make sure you're filled up with gas and diesel, especially if you're in the northern part of the country. It's sounding like the back half of this week could see some pretty significant weather and some heavy snow in certain areas. So something to keep an eye on. That weather forecast is still a couple days out here, but starting to kind of come together. Something to keep an eye on, especially if you're across the Northern Plains and upper Midwest here and parts of the western Midwest as we get into the end of the week. Well, we're out of time here on AOA Today, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions aren't new. Cenex Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Premium Diesel to keep you going. Learn more at Cenex.com. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge, but with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.